The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Good morning, and welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor and associate, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie.
Hello. And we have Jessica Schwab, our producer, and on our discussion today, we are here every Saturday, Sunday. We discuss many different real estate topics. Our quality service award-winning office has many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising for over 40 years. So during the week, please feel free
to email us with any questions you have at questions at jruddy.com. That's questions at jruddy.com or call us at 570-344-6724.
Search our listings or view the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. You can also listen to all our archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Jackie Ruddy. Today, Pat.
Who's your guest today?
You are.
I am.
Uh-oh. Yes, a long overdue very overdue topic.
Really, it really and truly is.
We should have done this a long time ago. We're going to talk about fire safety in the home.
Well, very good. Good topic. I've been asking for this for about a year and a half.
Yes, and I think that you are the person that would be considered the closest to an expert that I could find out there because of your experience as a New York City fireman.
Thank you very much. I've worked in busy houses. I worked in slow houses. I've been all over the city. I was a fireman for 20 years, so I've been to one or two fires. I have a little experience with this.
Yes, it's the best fire department in the world.
Yes, it is. The busiest fire department in the world.
How many firemen in the city of New York?
About 10,000.
Okay. And it's changed over the years. You've seen it change, but nothing like, I mean, when people think of New York City firemen, they typically these days think about none other than 9/11, and rightfully so. So many brave men that day sacrificed their lives going into those buildings, and I know it impacted our lives, and we're never going to be the same because of it, but you have had your fair share of situations, fires, explosions, car accidents. I'm sure you could.
Yes, I've been to pretty much everything.
All right.
Yeah, I've been to everything.
All right. Well, what we want to talk about today is fire safety in the home. And I came across some interesting information that I thought I'd share with the listeners. Almost half of accidental deaths occur at home. The top causes are poison, falls, electric shocks, and fires. Home accidents are responsible for more than 3 million injuries, including about 55,000 fatal injuries nationwide every year. That's more fatalities than from the workplace or an automobile accident combined.
So my house is the most dangerous place to be?
That's what it sounds like. Those are really staggering stats, wouldn't you think?
Yes, I do. It's unbelievable.
When do most residential fires occur, usually, do you think? In the winter?
Yes, absolutely. In the wintertime, the house is sealed up tight. One of the biggest ways that fires start in the wintertime is Christmas trees, decorations, candles. Candles are unbelievable. People leave the candles burning, and then little kitty will be jumping across the shelf and knock it down, and there goes the house. It catches the curtains on fires, and see you later. Maybe a Christmas tree that has never been watered, that's waiting to go, and all it needs is one little spark. A Christmas tree gets going, it creates an inferno in a room in just a couple of minutes. It's devastating.
That's why it's important to keep them watered and
keep them, get them cut when you first get them, and check the water every couple of days. Make sure it has the water so it doesn't dry up, and all the pine needles fall off it when you brush past the tree. That's a good indication that maybe you should put a little bit of water in there.
Is there a difference in safety in a real tree versus a fake tree?
Well, the real trees today are, you couldn't probably put them in your fireplace and get them to burn. They're fire resistant. I wouldn't say it's fireproof. Nothing's fireproof, but they're fire resistant.
The fake trees are.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. But still, if you have the lights that have a bad wire, frayed wire or something like that, even though you have...
That's right. What we do is, well, you know this. If we pull out a strand of lights and we test them around Christmas time, I don't fool around trying to repair them or anything. I throw them out and get a new strand of lights. It's not someplace I'm going to chintz for a couple of dollars.
No, it's not worth it. And, you know, yeah, right. So you don't want those kind of consequences. All right. How about, like, do you find that in the wintertime people stay home a lot more and they're cooking more?
Okay. They have the fireplace is going. They'll have the unvented gas heater going. You know, maybe a kids are playing. A curtain goes past that unvented heater and catches fire. This is supposed to be 3 feet away from those, but sometimes accidents happen.
Sure. Okay, kitchen fires. Let's start there. They are preventable.
Absolutely. Don't cook.
All right. I like that.
Don't cook. You'll never start a fire in the kitchen.
That's perfect. That's music to
everybody
my ears.
Go out to eat.
Yeah,
I like
right.
that.
I like that. Cooking fires primarily start on ranges or in ovens. Here's another stat for you. 40% of all house fires and 36% of all fire-related injuries start on the range or in the oven. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So what do we do to prevent a kitchen fire? Let's start with vents. Why is it important?
Vents, we have a newer vented system at our house, and it has the screens that catch the grease. And it blows the air out. Some people, they get these vented systems that are vented to the outside, or maybe it just recirculates the air, and they never, ever clean the vents because they're actually in the hood underneath. You take them and you pull them down. You spray some degreaser on them. If you cook a lot, you should clean them once a month so it doesn't build up grease. Now, say you had a flash-up, something flared on the stove, and there was a small fire, it could extend into that hood. It could really increase the size of the fire.
Well, if it goes into the vent, I would think that would be very, very bad because it would go throughout the...
Yes, that's bad. That's why you should keep these... That's why in the restaurants, they have cleaning services that come in monthly, and they clean out all the grease out of the vents, and they scrub them. That's what they do with them.
Well, it's not something you see. It's under the hood. You don't see this, and so it's not staring at you saying, clean me.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
you're stealing my material.
Okay, so, you know, there's obvious tips, like when you're cooking, don't leave.
Oh, don't go out and... have a cigarette outside, or maybe go out and walk the dog and leave something on the stove.
Or go up to your office and start working on the second floor.
Take a phone call.
While you're waiting for your water to boil. Yeah. And not that I would ever do such a thing.
Never.
Okay, so don't leave the kitchen, right? How about when using oil?
When you're using oil and frying, the biggest mistake people make is they fill up. Say they're going to fry something. Say they're going to fry a piece of chicken. Is they put too much oil in the pan. They turn it up really high, and it gets too hot too fast. They'll throw a piece of chicken in there or a piece of whatever they're cooking. The grease will now splash onto the stove. That will flare up, and it will get into the pan. So now we've had this discussion. When you see a fire on the stove, what's your first instinct?
To take a glass of water and
throw it in.
Yes.
Right. No, that's the worst thing you could do, because what that grease, it'll spread the grease, it'll bubble. You ever put a couple of drops of water into boiling oil?
That's how I check the oil, actually,
to
see if it's ready.
Oh, is that
how
you do it? Okay.
Yeah. I get a couple drops in my fingers, and I flick it at the grease. And
okay, now imagine if
fizzles,
that's on fire,
right,
and you throw, say, 16 ounces of water in there. Now you have a fire that was in the pan that is now all over. And you have
an
kitchen fire, right?
Okay.
The best thing to do is to pour some baking soda on there, turn the fire off. Lots of things people don't think of. Turn it off, put some baking soda on there. But the best thing to do... Turn the stove off. The best thing to do is to put a lid on the pot and just smother it. That's the best way to put it out.
Now, I was always taught to use salt.
Salt? I don't know about salt. I know about baking soda and maybe a dry chemical fire extinguisher. Don't use a water extinguisher, a dry chemical. Don't get too close and spray it, wave it back and forth.
Not into it.
No, don't do it because you don't want to spread it.
Right.
You know, you're going to be a couple of feet away from it, but aim it right at it and coat it with the with the dry chemical extinguisher.
And I've seen salt work, by the way.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know about
that. Do you have any experience with kitchen fires?
When I was really young, my parents, I have to commend them. They taught me well. My older sister, who is 9 years older than I am, was babysitting me. And she was baking something. And one of the pot holders, the hot pads, fell into the oven and it caught on fire. I grabbed our cat, Charlie, and I said, Wendy, I'm going outside. Because, you know, there's a fire in the house. You get out.
Yep. Right.
She said, sit your butt down on that bench. I've got it under control. She's maybe, what was she, 13 at the time? And she did. She took the big salt container, not your salt shaker, but the big salt container, and spread it over the flames. And
it went out.
Out it went. That was it.
Good.
I didn't know that.
So
teach that in the academy.
If you don't have baking soda handy,
try some salt.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. I can neither confirm nor deny. Mm-hmm. I have never seen that.
We'll have to do some experiments after the show.
Where do you live? We'll go up to your house. We're not going to my house.
Okay. Well, we're headed towards a break. Before we do, we can review something. Pat, is it a listing or an article you have for us today?
I have a listing. A beautiful house. It's a beautiful 3-bedroom, 2.5 bath. Now listen to this, Jessica, on 7.8 acres. Mm-hmm. It's perfect for horse lovers. It has a 4-stall horse barn with a tack room, a hay loft, a fenced pasture. This property is located at 152 Northup Road in Clark Summit. It's for $439,000. This home is great. It has wide plank maple floors on the first floor, gourmet kitchen with cathedral ceilings, Corian countertops, a double oven, and cherry cabinets. It also has a master bedroom with tile and a whirlpool tub in the master bath. It also has a fireplace and a nice cozy den. Has updated wiring, plumbing, roofing, siding, windows, porch. You know, I could talk about this all day, but it doesn't do any justice to it. This is a great 3-bedroom, 2.5 bath home with 7.8 acres and a horse barn. It has to be seen to be believed. That's 152 Northup Road in Clark Summit for $439,000.
Yeah, it is a great home. A great lot, great land, beautiful scenic views, gorgeous. And what's in and what's out in terms of homes? This is according to Yahoo Real Estate. What's in? People are looking for modern. They're looking for neo-Mediterranean style homes, arts and crafts bungalows, and we call them in this area Cape Cods. That's the 1.5-story homes. What's out? Split levels are out. McMansions are out. We've been hearing that for a long time. Too big. And Victorians are out. I was very surprised at that. And the reason why Victorians are out is because they typically have small rooms and they are challenging to rehabilitate and costly to maintain. You know about that, don't you, Jessica?
Yes, I do.
A little experience in that area. Okay, it's time for a short break. We will return in a few brief moments with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. When opportunity knocks, you want to be ready. At Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we have an exceptional understanding of the real estate market. With over 40 years experience, we make sure when you walk through our door, you will be given the highest level of service. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate can help smooth the way when things get complicated. You need the real estate representation you deserve, and Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate can deliver.
Hi, I'm Pat Devaney, and I'm a realtor with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. We will guide you during every step. Call us today for any questions. Whether you are buying or selling, call 570-344-6724. That's 344-6724. Friend us on Facebook or visit jruddy.com. And don't forget to tune into the Real Estate Roundtable Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30.
When selling your property with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, you will experience the gold standard. Our network is your edge, where experience and expertise intersect with your real estate goals and dreams. We know and understand you want to sell at the right price with as few worries as possible. It's reassuring to know Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been guiding clients down the golden path of selling for over 40 years. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate makes your dreams a reality by maximizing the exposure of your property here and around the nation harvesting the power of the internet. We shepherd you through every step of the selling process from start to finish, from the marketing, the offer, the inspection, the contract, then the close. Great listeners, skilled negotiators, and focused on every detail so you achieve the highest level of service you deserve. Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate at 344-6724. That's 344-6724. Or visit www.jruddy.com, where they will work to champion your best interests all the way.
Welcome back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Again, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, Fell Realtor, and the guest of the day, Pat Devaney.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Our fire expert.
I'm honored to be here.
Yes, and we're honored to have you. And our producer, Jessica. Hello.
Good morning.
Okay, before the break, we were going over fire safety tips, and we were starting to talk about kitchen fires, stove fires, and what to do, how to get snuff them out with a lid if you have a grease fire on the stove or something like that. Clean your vents, and at least once a month if you cook quite a bit. That keeps the grease
from building up.
And yeah, okay. So we clean vents are very important. So, you know, how to avoid these fires that people have when they're cooking. How about ovens? When ovens get on fire, what do you do?
Turn the oven off. Lots of people don't do that. They get all panicked. They see a fire and they start screaming. Maybe they'll leave the oven open and run away. Close the oven door. An oven is a steel metal box. Fire shouldn't go anywhere.
Shouldn't.
And turn it off. Okay. If you feel that it's getting out of control or it's not going out, call the fire department. Better safe than sorry.
Yeah. They know what they're trained professionals.
Right. They shouldn't come in and start breaking windows just for a little.
Don't grab your cat and run outside.
No. Don't grab your iPad and run out. You should be okay.
All right. So now let's talk about smoke detectors and fire extinguishers. Where should we have these items in our home?
The fire extinguisher should be mounted on the wall. Lots of times what happens is people get it for a gift. They'll take the box and say, oh, this is great. Then they'll jam it in the back of the closet. It'll never get mounted. Or they'll put it on the floor behind the door, and then your son will go and play with it, and it'll be moved, and it'll end up in the back of the closet. The best way to do it is to take it, mount it about 3 feet off the floor in a place where you know where it is. It should be checked periodically and replaced. I would replace mine every 2 years. You know, they don't last that long. They're supposed to be inspected every 6 months, but for a home extinguisher, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, so typically if I do, and I go in and out of a lot of homes, and I've been doing real estate for close to 20 years, so I see a lot of people have smoke detectors, but not many people have fire extinguishers. If I do see a fire extinguisher, I usually see it in a kitchen, and that's a good place to have one.
Right, that, like we said, that's where most of the fires are going to start, is from cooking in the kitchen.
But the material I read suggests you should have one on every floor.
Well, we have one in our office. We have two in the office. We have a big office. We have one in the house in the kitchen, and we have a big one in the garage right next to the door. I don't have them on every floor. I just didn't do that. Maybe I'm a bad fireman, but I know where the big ones are. There's a big one right inside the garage, and there's one right in the kitchen.
Well, I could see it also being in the basement, too, because you have a lot of things down. We have a space heater in the basement, a furnace, you know, God forbid anything else ever happened, you need to get something out fast. I think that would be a good place.
I think it would be an excellent place to keep one.
That's your project when you go home.
Yes.
Actually, I have one in the garage. An extra one. I'll be putting that in the basement.
All right, so don't mount them. Mounting is very important, so because when you go to get it, it's there.
That's right.
It's not moved.
How many times you go to look for something in your kitchen and it's moved, it's not where you thought it was. You don't have the time to do that, you know? There is no luxury. It's got to be there. You got to grab it. It's got to be ready to go.
Well, I was just thinking, how long does it take for a fire? I mean, you don't have a lot of time to search the house for a fire extinguisher.
No, so you got to get it. The key is to get a fire when it's small. If it's small and it's manageable and you can knock it down real fast, that's it. You've probably prevented a tragedy. So you got to get it when it's small. If you're hitting it with the fire extinguisher and it's not doing anything, close the door. Make sure you close the door to the kitchen. It's very important that you close doors when you leave the room and get out.
And when you get out, close that door.
Close all the doors.
Why do you say that?
Because the fire, what that will do, the fire needs air. That will feed the fire, and the fire won't extend. It won't have anywhere to go. I mean, in our house, we have older door, well, we have new doors, but they're solid doors. And that will stop the fire. That will keep the fire in that room. It will keep the fire from extending out throughout the rest of the house. So maybe instead of just having damage in one room, you would have a total loss of the whole house.
And so, how long in terms of time do you have when you close that door? Like what minutes? How many minutes?
I would
say
you can probably buy 10 minutes.
Okay.
I've seen in my old firehouse there were a couple of firemen that were actually killed because when the woman left the apartment where the fire was, she was in an apartment house. It was on an upper floor. When she ran out, she left the door open. And when the windows finally broke, the fire blew down the hallway, and a couple of firemen paid the ultimate price for that person leaving the door open.
Right. Okay. How about smoke detectors? You know, so a lot of people have smoke detectors. What are the things that we should be looking for in terms of, you know, where we should be putting them, where you should mount them?
I would have one in my house. I have one in every room. I have them in the hallway, and I have them in every bedroom. Also, I have one in the laundry room above the washer and the dryer. Most of the fires that I went to when I worked towards the end of my career were started from clothes dryers. People would turn the clothes dryer on and leave the house. So if you have a smoke detector in there, at least it'll alert you that there's a problem. Because if you have it in a laundry room, you just close the doors and you leave. So by the time it's a big problem, it might be too late. So the smoke detector will give you an early jump on that. Also, what they have now is combination carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. Now, I have one carbon monoxide detector on every level. I have one in the basement, the first floor, and the second floor, plus the regular smoke detectors that I have.
We have hardwired smoke detectors. What's the difference between a hardwired smoke detector? I mean, obviously, they're hardwired and, you know, it requires a lot more installation. And
right. They run off the electricity from the house, so you're not constantly changing batteries. The battery is a backup system, but the advantage to having it hardwired is if one smoke detector goes off, the whole building goes off. So that's the way to do it. So if you have a really big house and you have a smoke detector going off, like say in the attic, you won't hear it when you're in the kitchen.
Nope.
But if they're hardwired and one goes off, they all start going off and you know you have a problem and you can probably catch it while it's still small and it's still manageable.
I'm on the third floor. I don't even hear the doorbell. How am I going to hear a smoke detector in the basement? I wouldn't.
Exactly. You won't.
Right. Okay. So you recommend hardwired smoke detectors. What do you see people do a lot with the battery-operated smoke detectors?
Well, when it starts to chirp, you know that annoying chirp that you hear?
That goes right through me.
Yeah. What people usually do is take the battery out. Let's quiet that thing down.
And so, forget to put one back.
Right. So now you might as well have a hockey puck on the ceiling because it's as useless as a smoke detector without a battery. So you're supposed to change the batteries twice a year when you change your clocks in the spring and when you change your clocks in the fall. It's a 9-volt battery. It's a $2 battery. It's money well spent.
For your family safety, your safety, for your house, your personal items.
Think of it as insurance.
Okay. Where do you suggest to mount this smoke detector in a kitchen?
As far away from the stove as you can.
And why would that be?
Because if you're cooking and you smoke the bacon, you don't want the whole house going off and everybody come running down and saying, what's going on? Well, they say, oh, it's only mom. She's cooking.
Okay, you know? All right.
Mom's cooking again.
Yeah, cooking again. That's why I don't cook. Okay, now, carbon monoxide detectors. You mentioned those. And I don't see those as much as I see smoke detectors, like I've mentioned before, and maybe just sometimes a fire extinguisher. I don't see carbon monoxide detectors that much either. And I think that they're important because
carbon monoxide is an odorless, colorless gas. You don't know that you're being poisoned by it. If you have a hot water heater or a furnace that is improperly vented, it will be the buildup of carbon monoxide. Now, the only symptoms that you're getting carbon monoxide poisoned is a headache and some nausea. So many people, when they get a headache and they get nausea, what do you go do? You go lay down.
And
worst thing you could do. That's why periodically you'll read in the paper, you'll see on the news that a family of three or a family of four got were killed from carbon monoxide poisoning. That's because they says, oh, well, we all must be sick. Let's go lay down. We'll feel better. And they never wake up. But the reason you might not, you might be looking at carbon monoxide detectors, but you don't know it. In our house, we have the combination, and they look exactly the same mm-hmm. as a regular smoke detector. There's not something on it that says CO, and it doesn't say that on it. Ours are just normal ones, but we have one on every level, one carbon monoxide detector in the basement, first floor, and second floor.
And it's an improper ventilation that usually causes a elevated carbon monoxide
right.
level. Okay. And from fireplaces, furnaces?
Yeah, anything that's improperly vented. Okay. But the fire department, they'll come in if you suspect it. They have carbon monoxide meters, and they'll look at it. And if it's over 10 parts per million, they'll know that there's a problem. And if it's over 100, I forget the exact numbers, but then you'll have to vacate the premises until they ventilate the place and find out the cause of it.
Okay. Well, we covered a lot of material today, Pat, and there's a lot more regarding fire safety in the homes, and it's a really important topic, and I'd like to talk about it next week. You know, things like family escape plans, fire drills for the family, and other things that we didn't hit today. So we're going to talk about that again next week. Before we close, would you...
Yes, I have an article I'm going to talk about.
Good.
We're talking about kitchens, so we might as well just say that you know that kitchens sell a home. Did you know that?
Oh.
That's right. So that's not the best well-kept secret in real estate.
No,
is that,
it's common not. Knowledge.
Yes, a kitchen can sell a home. The kitchen is the heart of your home. Jessica, where do you spend most of your time with your family?
In the kitchen.
That's right. It's where all of your time is spent, and it's usually spent with your family members. Kitchens are usually the center of entertaining, and in today's open age of floor plans, that's everybody's going to see your kitchen. This room is the showpiece of your house. Everybody sees it. You see it every day, and your guests are going to see it during most visits. Also, kitchens are the most expensive rooms to renovate. It's the most labor and time intensive of all home innovations. It's not just a new coat of paint. I mean, that's part of it, but that's not the only thing. The main thing to remember is not to over-improve. So if you have a $100,000 house and I put a $40,000 kitchen in there, you simply won't find a buyer for it. It's just too much money. So if you want to be smart, this is the way to do it. Scope out the competition. Go to open houses in your neighborhoods. Check the MLS. We have the MLS on jruddy.com. You can go and you could look at pictures of other people's houses in the neighborhood that are for sale. Don't become overwhelmed. Sometimes a kitchen update can be as simple as a few minor changes, like painting, getting rid of the clutter. People, you know, that's my stuff. It's clutter to most people. Update your appliances. You know, stainless steel appliances make a big difference. Paint the cabinets, update the hardware, and all of this can be done for a fraction of the cost of new granite countertops and cabinets. You can make some small improvements that really make a big difference.
And buyers want that today.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Okay. Good advice. Thank you, Pat. Before I close, the tip of the day, it's a nifty tip. Raise the curtain rod. Hang the curtains near the ceiling rather than the typical placement just above the window trim. This gives the illusion of height, makes a small window appear larger or a low ceiling appear higher.
That's tricky. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Me either.
Yeah. Okay. So it's that time. Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. If you have any real estate questions during the week,
you can email them to us at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can call us at 570-344-6724.
Thanks for listening and have a fantastic weekend.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. When opportunity knocks, you want to be ready. At Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we have an exceptional understanding of the real estate market. With over 40 years experience, we make sure when you walk through our door, you will be given the highest level of service. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate can help smooth the way when things get complicated. You need the real estate representation you deserve, and Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate can deliver.
Hi, I'm Pat Devaney, and I'm a realtor with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. We will guide you during every step. Call us today for any questions. Whether you are buying or selling, call 570-344-6724. That's 344-6724. Friend us on Facebook or visit jruddy.com. And don't forget to tune into the Real Estate Roundtable, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30.